Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we'll continue from where we stopped. Our program is from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. Yeah? So puja followed by briefing by Brother Theo, right? On how to strengthen the spiritual faculty, sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya, which we have done. Yeah? To root out the opposite five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. Then develop the understanding of the following essential Dhamma. So that one, as we go through the Sukhat Suttas, they will appear. The four right effort, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thoughts, wrong or unwholesome thoughts. Then five daily contemplation, which we have done. After that, three evil root, we have also done. The five aggregate of form and mind, we have also done. So the 12-link, Paticca Samuppada, we touched on it a bit. Four noble truth, we have done. The four foundation of mindfulness, not yet. Seven factor of enlightenment, not yet. And importance of devotional practice or puja, etc. Every day is a different topic. Yeah? So all this, as we go through the Heart Sutta, we will be going into it. Okay, turn to page 10 of the Heart Sutta. Yeah? So tell me, you continue.
Page 10,
yeah.
Verse 183. All evil has to be avoided. Cultivate whatever good when there are conditions and purify the mind. This is the advice of all Buddhas.
So this one is based on Dhammapada verse 183, yeah? Which we have gone through. Sabba papasa akarana kusalesa upasampada. Sacitta yodapana etang buddhana sasana. So the Buddha, when he advised the monk, he said, sabbe papasa means all evil is to be avoided. Then kusalesa, wholesomeness, upasampada means you have to develop wholesomeness wherever there is condition. To develop that. There's a citta pariyodhapana, means you have to purify your mind. Then, etang buddhana sasana, this is the advice of all Sammasambuddha. So, with that, you must develop the strong intent to follow the advice of the Buddha, to cultivate accordingly. Then what must you cultivate? The next Dhammapada verses 21-23 on heedfulness, Apamadavaka, explain the thing, and I have covered this. So tell me, you can read.
Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23 on heedfulness. Apama Dabaga. Verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the death. The heedful do not die. The heedless are as if dead. Verse 22. Distinctly understanding these differences. The wise intend on heedfulness and rejoices in the realm of the Aryas or the enlightened ones. Verse 23. The constantly meditative, the ever mindful, and the steadfast one realizes the bond-free Nibbana.
So all this point towards the importance of heedfulness. Then continue the advice of the Buddha. before his parinibbana.
1.4. Buddha's advice before his parinibbana. Appamadena sampadeta. Strive on with heedfulness. Note, the heedful never dies. Eternal life, spiritually. The heedlessness are as if dead, spiritually. No chance of gaining enlightenment. 1.5. Final summary of the first noble truth of dukkha. In short, it is the attachment or grasping and clinging to the five grasping aggregates or upadana khanda.
Upadana khanda.
Upadana khanda of form and mind via one's delusion or ignorance that I call dukkha. The word dukkha or Sanskrit dukkha is one of those Pali terms that cannot be translated adequately into English by one word, for no English word covers the same ground as dukkha in Pali. Suffering, ill will, anguish, unsatisfactoriness are some favorite renderings. The word pain, misery, sorrow, conflict, and so forth are also used. The word dukkha, however, includes all that and more than that. Reference page 37 of the Buddha's Ancient Path by Piyadasi Thera. Page 11, 1.6. The seven factors of enlightenment or Satta Bodhanga. Sati or mindfulness is the first of the seven factors of enlightenment, followed by the investigation of Dhamma or Dhamma Vichaya, which is the second factor of enlightenment. Without sati, one cannot be heedful or ever mindful. Hence, one cannot investigate the Dhamma. That is the reason why sati or heedfulness is very important. For sati is life, because the heedless are as if dead. With sati, one can investigate the Dhamma. And if it is the truth, then this Dhamma will stand up to investigation, thereby giving us the strong faith in the Buddha. Then virya, or the spiritual zeal, which is the third enlightenment factor, will arise, thereby enabling one to cultivate the Dhamma according to the Buddha's advice. Sati will then stabilize. And pity, or the spiritual joy, which is the fourth factor of enlightenment, will arise. Once pity is established and becomes more refined, it will accumulate into prasadi, or tranquility of mind, which is the fifth factor of enlightenment. With prasadi becoming more and more stable, the mind will accumulate into samadhi, a stable, collected, and unwavering mind, which is the sixth enlightenment factor. With sati and samadhi in place, wisdom or prajna will keep on arising, giving rise to the last or seventh enlightenment factor, which is equanimity or upekkha. Note, samadhi, a stable, collected, and unwavering mind, that does not waver at the moments of sense experiences while in the midst of life. 1.7. The three universal characteristics. 1. Anicca, impermanence. 2. Dukkha, suffering. And 3. Anatta, non-self, an empty nature, or not a permanent unchanging entity. 1.8. The five universal laws or orders, pancha niyama, that govern all of life and existence in this universe are: first two are scientific laws of 1. Uttu niyama, or the physical law of nature, and 2. Vija niyama, or the biological order of nature. Next three are spiritual laws of nature of 3. Karma niyama, or the law of karma. 4. Citta niyama, or the law of the mind, and 5 Dhamma Niyama, or the law of truth or Dhamma, as taught by the Buddha. Understanding these 3 spiritual laws that govern all of our life and existence will give rise to the 3 important right views as taught by the Buddha in his Noble Eightfold Path, that is, right view with regards to the 1. Law of karma, that is, you reap what you sow, do good begets good, and do evil begets evil. And you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, etc. 2. Law of the mind, that is, the 12 links, dependent origination of paticca samuppada. 3. Law of Dhamma, that is, the 4 noble truths, 5 aggregates of form and mind, the 5 spiritual faculties, etc. Understanding these 3 great spiritual laws is like to understanding the secret of life, giving rise to the wisdom to enable one to truly live life. Having this right view will lead to the understanding of non-delusion, non-attachment, non-grasping and non-clinging, etc. Hence, freeing and liberating one's mind from all suffering. These pancha niyamas can also be explained by the 4 aspects of Dhamma or nature as taught by Ajahn Buddhadasa. 1. First aspect, there is nature. 2. Second aspect, there are laws that govern nature. 3. Third aspect, there is a right duty that one must perform towards this law that governs nature. 4th aspect, reaping the fruit of one's hard work after having performed that right duty.
Okay, I will explain a bit. You see, the 4 noble truths, as you all know, are the essence of the Buddha's teaching. But Ajahn Buddhadasa, he already passed away, she from Sunmok. When I met him a few times, he was still alive. He was actually a very famous monk in southern Thailand. He has a monastery near Surat Thani. They call it Sunmok, means the Garden of Liberation. And he is also my teacher, Ajahn Yantra's teacher. That's why when I was there, I managed to listen to some of his talk, which was quite beautiful, interesting. Then after that, I read a few of his books, which was very good. So inside one of the books, he explained the 4 Noble Truths in his own way, based on his understanding, which is very good. So like the Buddha, he also understands. First, there is nature. There are laws that governs nature. Nature means the boundary condition of our universe already set. That's why it is called nature. And nature are governed by a set of law which he call the pancha niyama as taught by the Buddha. So all these nature's law, they include the first 2 scientific law and the 3 spiritual law. And this cover all the order within nature's law that governs our present universe. Then there is a 3rd aspect that he includes. There is a right duty that one must perform towards this law of nature. This law that governs nature. That right duty is what the Buddha meant by under the chanting, where you chant the salutation to the Sangha. Under the salutation to the Sangha, we chant, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Then Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Then you have Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Then the last one, Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. He said, these enlightened disciples of the Buddha, they got four great qualities. They have good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct. Then the fourth one is Samichi Patipanno, dutiful conduct. You must do your duty towards the law of karma. You cannot simply live life. You cannot apply the unconditioned and say, hey, no you, hey, no me, no one die. Then you can do what you like. No. But I explain, within the conditioned world, all these things that happen within the conditioned world, they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. They follow certain nature's law within the conditioned dhamma. That's why they follow the law of karma. And this law of karma recognizes the relationship. Although it's he no you, he no me. That's why you cannot do things. There is such thing as right duty. Avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. To avoid all evil, you must take care of mind. You must understand what constitutes evil. Whatever mind state that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are root of all evil. They will bring forth evil consequences. So when you are mindful, aware, and you understand what constitutes evil, you can never break the precept. That mindfulness protects you, give rise to understanding to protect you. So all this is what Ajahn Buddha Rasa also came to understand. That's why there is a third aspect, the right duty towards this nature's law of karma that governs life and existence. Then the fourth aspect is like the Buddha's teaching, Pativeda. When you develop the understanding of the teaching, when you have cultivated it and awakened to it, then you will reap the fruit of your hard work. So there are three phases of Dhamma when you cultivate. The first phase, which is on the logo of Breakthrough Temple, is Pariyati, the learning of his teaching. You can learn it through hearing his teaching, or read about it nowadays, or listen to the recording or whatever. Then after that, you have to put it into practice. When you put it into practice, you develop further wisdom, understanding, then you awaken. So Pariyati, phase one. Then when you practice until enlightenment, awakening, that is phase two. In fact, putting into practice is phase two. The final outcome when you become enlightened is phase three. Once you become enlightened, you have the embodiment of the teaching of the Buddha. You are no longer a Puttujana, you are an Arya. You have the wisdom to liberate your mind, to understand life and to live life to the fullest, to live life as an enlightened being. That's why here Ajahn Buddha Rasa mentioned the same. The fourth aspect is reaping the fruit of one's hard work after having performed that right duty and cultivation. Okay? So it's the same. Then the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Now this one you must understand. You don't only like those normal Dharma practitioner or Buddhists who only know the theory. When you ask them, what are the three evil roots? They don't even know what that thing is, but they can give you the answer. They will refer to you, greed, hatred, and delusion. You ask further, they're not sure. What you need to understand is what is greed. Here, the Pali word is loba. Loba doesn't mean greedy alone. Loba means the evil roots of selfishness, greediness, possessiveness, attachment, craving, desire. All these are under loba. So the English rendering is limited. That's why you read what I have written there. Loba means it includes all of your greed, your selfishness, your lust, your craving, your covetousness, your desire, your deceitfulness, your cunningness, etc. Well, this is all born of the evil roots of greediness, the sakkaya ditthi that condition the egoic mind. Then the second evil root is dosa, or they translate into English as hatred. Actually, it's not only hatred. They include all your anger, your envy, your jealousy, your aversion, your dislike, your negative emotion, including sorrow, lamentation, grief, etc. So this understanding is very important, that you can relate to life, the three evil roots, which means when you develop the meditative training, you develop mindfulness to be aware of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, through understanding what constitutes evil and what are they, these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, or we call loba, dosa, and moha. Moha is sakkaya ditthi, self-delusion. So this one includes self-delusion, sakkaya ditthi, that condition the egoic mind to give rise to all the three evil roots of loba, dosa, and moha, leading to all the egoic personality or selfishness, craving, fear, worry, anxiety, etc. So this is more or less a more complete understanding of the three evil roots. Why do they term it evil roots? Well, they are the root of all evil. When you have any of this mind state, you become evil. It leads to karmic downfall. It leads to suffering, delusion. So this is very important. I read to you the last paragraph. They are the root of all evil. If you have them in your mind or consciousness, then it will condition and cause you to become a very evil person. That is the root of all evil. So it is very important to develop the training of the mind via meditation to be always mindful, heedful, so that we can be aware of our mental intention all the time. And if there is any evil roots, the three evil roots, then we should arise the appropriate right effort to either abandon it or prevent it from arising. Otherwise, it will condition us into negativity, leading to all the suffering. As they are also called the three poison, means spiritually they will kill you, means your spiritual life is like no more, impossible to realize the enlightenment. If you allow them to stay in your mind, means you are like the Buddha said, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. You may be alive, conscious of life, go to living. But because you lack heedfulness, you lack mindfulness, this inner awareness, you cannot understand, you cannot cope. So because of that, suffering will arise. And when it arises, it actually kills you. That's why it's also called the tree poison. It's not only an evil root, root of all evil, it also kills you spiritually. So be careful not to hold on to all these evil roots or the tree poison. Mahayana call it san du. It kills you spiritually. Yeah, they are poison. So these mind states are very detrimental when they arise within your mind. Okay, 1.10. Seeing beyond form and understanding Nibbana. This one I have explained on the first day. So now tell me you read.
Page 13, 1.10. Seeing beyond form and understanding Nibbana. To develop basic wisdom, one must have the ability to see form as they are, and the unreality of form via its condition arising, its impermanence, suffering and non-self or empty nature, leading to our ability to see beyond form. Inability to see beyond form, the result in form delusion, because one will grasp at external forms via one's own delusion caused by identification with external forms, thinking that they are also real. As form divides, so once we identify via identification with, let's say, our external form, which is the physical body, then one will create the attachment to this body via delusion, hence worrying about it getting old, falling sick and dying. It can also create duality of male and female gender, race identification, young and old, or age identification, etc., leading to all the unnecessary fear, worries, anxieties, possibility of conflict and arguments caused by external form identification and division.
So all this I have explained earlier. That's why I told you, listen attentively. Don't try to make notes. They are all in the Heart Sutta. Okay? Otherwise, listen the recording again later on. Yeah, continue.
Unless you have the ability to see beyond form, chances are you will not be able to see mind, because mind is much subtler and intangible than the solid external forms. And unless you can see mind, the mundane mind, as it is, via the silent mind in sati, true wisdom cannot arise. For Nibbana is cessation of form and mind.
So now you understand. You cannot approach it from the instrument which is thought, thinking. The mundane mind cannot realize the Dhamma that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all these are very clear. So you approach it from the thought process, means you are doing thought-based meditation. You are not developing the inner awareness, the sati, the mindfulness to be aware. You are seeking knowledge. You are using thought to analyze, to reason, to develop more and more Dhamma knowledge, to identify, to be deluded by it. So all this is what the teaching is all about. Okay? Now, continue, tell me.
So, learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then learn to see beyond form, leading to your ability to see the mundane mind clearly. This can then lead to the realization of the impermanence and empty nature of the mundane or thinking mind, leading to the ability to see beyond the mundane mind via the silent mind, to realize one's true nature, which is beyond thought and beyond mind. At the mundane mind level, one still clings on to one's views and opinions and religious labels, etc. Hence the division again. At mind level, leading to all the conflicts and arguments caused by one's self-delusion as before. Note, words divide via form and thought identification due to Sakkaya Ditti and ignorance. Hence, only if one can see things as they are, that is via the direct seeing without words, concepts and labeling, etc. Only then there is no more form and thought delusion to condition one's grasping and clinging, leading to all the suffering. That is, if you cannot see form and the unreality of form, then you will not be able to see beyond form. And everything you come to perceive via your mundane mind, which is consciousness only, will be like so real and so meaningful to you. Hence, the self-delusion or Sakkaya Ditti. Also, Dhammapada verses 1 and 2 say, mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind, so one must be wary of mind.
So all this we have covered, huh? Just now I also explained. Hopefully, this round, the thing can really be grasped and developed as understanding for a lot of you all. And this retreat, like I explained to you all before the retreat begin or commence, I say it will be very different, because a lot of you all can develop a better understanding where the Kayamita force has moved. And being part of the Kayamita force, you develop the affinity, the ability to come forth with the understanding to grasp them. But you need some form of sincerity and faith and understanding. If you are not sincere, you don't have the faith, then you don't have the understanding and diligence. You just believe, hey, don't worry, but you say I'm a Kayamita, the Kayamita force will help me. You go and dream. Because like the Buddha said, no one saves you but yourself. So you don't put in the required diligence or effort, nothing happens. Understand? That's why, because you take the determination or that right effort towards that direction, then you make that good decision to come, to be here, to participate. Then you have the condition to receive this, and after that it depends on you. Like we said, after you know who the Buddha is, how special a being he is, how wonderful the teaching that he has given us, and all these are free. If you still don't have the gratitude and understanding to thank your good karma for having such a great teacher and such great teaching, then I don't know what to do with you, because it's your life. Like Sui An always mentioned, you decide. Understand that? No one can develop the cultivation for you. If you decide to be heedless, choose to be heedless like before, go ahead, it's your choice. That's why we call it freedom of choice. But this is deluded choice. But when you have the understanding, like Pocheng, they all understand, you go all out. Like the year 1971, the moment I received the book, the Four Noble Truths, I never look back. I go all out, cultivate. But this is something so important to me in life. The rest are secondary. That's why I can go all out to develop it. And also, you can say maybe I'm blessed, I'm lucky, my boss is very strong. But do you think I start from there? No, I start maybe worse than you all. Like any puttajana, without any knowledge of Dhamma, without any understanding of the teaching, then through this long period in samsara, all this starts to happen. Through one, through affinity. Like we said, whatever you do, even the Lotus Sutta mentioned very clearly, in the distant past, you have recited the Buddha's name, or one of the great beings' name, and established the affinity with the Triple Gem, or that great being. That will be the condition for you to actually develop into finally realization of Sama Sambuddhahood, no, not only become an Arya. Just imagine, by reciting this, the Buddha's name for how. When you come to this retreat, now is the sasana, every moment, every instant, every day of the retreat, you recite, you chant, you pay respect, salutation, then all the great beings, you recite. So with such condition, to me, you are more or less assured that in the future, you will succeed. But please, it may take very, very long because you didn't work towards it. So everybody, finally, maybe if you have that affinity, determination, you can become Sama Sambuddha, but not necessarily the time you take can be very different. Sometimes it could be too long, too long. You know the Hokkien word is what? Tan. Tan is wait, isn't it? How many of you don't know Hokkien? So if you, there happened to be a company, Tan and Tan. Tan. You wait and wait and wait and wait. Wait until when? Nobody knows. Until the cow come home. You think the cow know how to come home? So you can wait. Then they call you Mr. Tan. Then you end up setting up Tan and Tan. So although it's a joke, but it's to let you understand where condition is there. Do they say in Mandarin, what? 把握时期啊, make full use of the causes and conditions when they arise. Well, if you miss this window, like I say, chances are it's going to take you a very, very long period before you encounter another window like this, the sasana, with the teaching. And not only that, you are born as a human being, in a sasana, come into contact with the real teaching, with the sasana around, with all the causes and conditions for you to do all the wholesomeness and make sure you got it right. You miss this one, I tell you, just because this segmented life, like last time they say in Mandarin, Tan Wan, you like to roam around and play around. But this is the window, no? And you think, by being heedlessly roaming around and you miss this window, nobody can help you. And for those who understand, they will look at you, how come got such foolish people around? So foolish, like everything is in front of you already, waiting for you. Just to sincerely extend your hand to receive it. But you're very arrogant. Forget about it. You go and play, wander around. Because you want to enjoy life. No time for Dhamma. So when you do that, It is also partly your past karmic obstruction and delusion that condition you to do that. So although a lot of things is like more or less causes and condition from the past, but you have such causes and condition from the past to let you have all these, you know, like I shared just now. The only thing you need is to extend your hand out, you know, then all this will be yours now. Extending your hand out also lazy, you understand? You say you got no time. Aiyah, wait lah. Wait till I retire. Then, when you already 60, supposed to retire. Aiyah, cannot lah. I still need to work lah. My children need me. My children need a lot of things. You say you cannot retire even at the age of 60. Thank you. I still remember. So when you reach the age to retire, you somehow procrastinate. Means what? You say, cannot lah. Maybe I okay lah. My children need my support. Oh. Then after that, you worry about your grandchildren. So, what is this? Security, attachment, clinging, grasping. Yet to you, this is more important than what? Than Dhamma. So when you put emphasis on all those worldly things, you end up lai e kong, qi e kong. You don't understand. No? You think all this you do is tangible. No? He know you, he know me. Do you know some of your children may be here to claim back from you the karmic debt? That's why you work like a horse to support them. And you somehow say, no lah, cannot lah, my son, no, I need to support them. Then your grandchildren, they say, last time you cheat on them, deceive them, now you have to pay back. Pay back in what manner? Willingly, as the father and the grandfather. Understand? So karma is like that. Don't play a fool with karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So whatever goes around, comes around. So be mindful, be aware, and tell yourself your life, what is more important than determined. Once you miss this window, sorry to say that, to find the next window this, with similar condition is very, very difficult. It may take very, very long. So hopefully, this is, I don't know how many times I repeated this on a, I call this the golden era, the golden window for you to develop the understanding and ensure your future coming, no more problem. So you miss this window, don't say you are not reminded. Okay, we continue, okay.
Page 14,
yes.
Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 2, 2.1, Definitions. Thus have I heard, implies suchness or thusness of things, or tathata. The Buddha is also called the Tathagata, meaning he is the Tathagata who is an expert in tathata or suchness. The Buddha understands truth as it is because truth is the isness of things or suchness via accepting what is.
So do you understand this? What is the reality. That's why the Buddha always says, see things as they are. Wherever that, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. But this is suchness. This is the reality. Can't be otherwise. Causes and conditions already set. Things has already arisen. So at this moment, if you cannot accept this reality to be at peace, suffering will arise. That's why don't fight suchness, reality. So when it talk about truth is, means not your truth, not my truth, but nature's truth. That's the Dhamma that the Buddha teach. So, truth does not. Not like property cannot be owned by anybody. Understand? There is nature's law. So truth is means no one can own truth or monopolize truth. That's why all the religion claim to be one. Mind is the only. All religion claim one. My religion is the only. Truth. That everyone also talk about that, but all the religion different, God also different. Then can everyone be correct? There is no way. So truth is means you have to realize it, awaken to it, and accord with it. You cannot own and monopolize truth. You cannot say my truth. What you say is based on your understanding, understand? Even you may have some form of wisdom or what. But that is your view, your understanding of what truth is. It may not be the actual truth. So whatever happened, the nature's law decides, not you or me. That's your truth, my truth, whoever's truth, not important. The nature's law that governs life and existence, that is the one that decides. That's why the Pancha Niyama is the one that decides. Okay? Yeah, continue. Tell me.
Important quotations from six patriarchs, Hui Neng Platform Sutra. Number one, introduction. One day while delivering firewood to a store, Hui Neng heard a customer reciting the Diamond Sutra and had an awakening when he heard the stanza, "The mind must have no dwelling." He immediately inquires about the sutra and decides to seek out the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren, at his monastery on Huang Mei Mountain. Hui Neng then embarked on his journey, and after traveling for 30 days on foot, he arrived at Huang Mei Mountain where the fifth patriarch was residing. 2. From the first chapter of the main canon version of the Platform Sutra, the fifth patriarch asked me,
the moment he heard the mind must have no dwelling, he like awakened. Then he got curious, he couldn't ask the merchant, what is it that you are reciting? Then that merchant also felt puzzled. How can a woodcutter, no education, nothing, never heard of Dhamma before, understand what he recites? He said, when you recite that verse, I had great awakening. I understand. The merchant told him, since you have affinity, you have such parami from the past, you must go and meet the fifth barrier. He said, yeah, I want to, but I can't. My mother, I need to take care. The merchant volunteered on his behalf to take care of the mother. That's why he went. And how long he took? Huh? He walked for how long? Do you have that patience or not? Look at how people seek Dhamma when they hear the truth. They go all out, no turning back. And when he was there, he was asked to pound rice for 8 months before he really became famous. Then when he was there, although he got a letter of introduction from the merchant, because the fifth patriarch was conducting that ceremony, then suddenly Hui Neng arrived. That's why when they brought his attention to the fifth patriarch, the fifth patriarch asked him, is it? So I read to you again, you listen. He said, who are you? And what do you see? How you answer? Huh? Let's say you have that affinity, the determination. You go and meet the patriarch. And then he asks you, who are you? What do you see? What is your answer? Yeah, lah, same lah, sadhu. You can say the same thing as you have that root. But you, I decay, I bend limb. From Alastar Haji. And I seek enlightenment. You have peace. You know what he told the fifth patriarch? He very frankly said, he before even the fifth patriarch accept him, he said, your disciple, he already know, I want to be your disciple. It's a commoner in Xingzhou, means southerner, illiterate one, of Lingnan. But he said, I have traveled far to pay homage. He didn't mention 30 days. Then he said, to seek Samasa Buddhahood, nothing else except Buddhahood. So once he said that, actually, the fifth patriarch knew, if he accept him and welcome him, the rest will be jealous. Understand? Yeah, he is from southern, barbarian, supposed to be barbarian, no education. Yeah. So he purposely asked Hui Ning back. He said, you come from Lingnan, a southerner, and a barbarian. You know, he used that word, no, so harsh. Yeah. Then he said, how can you expect to be a Buddha? The way Hui Ning answered, the fifth patriarch knew, this guy, he is gifted, destined to be. That's why he replied. He said, although living beings or human beings exist as northerner and southerner, means this one based on what? Perceiving the form, understand now? Got north and south. All these are form dhamma. How can you suspect? Oh, sorry, that one is a question. Huh? Then he said, people may differ and exist as northerner and southerner, but in the Buddha nature, there is neither north or south. Now you understand. Yeah, the Buddha nature is not a mundane mind. No word, no concept, nothing. So because of that, he told the Vipetria, a barbarian differs from the holiness physically. You see the word? Physically. This is form Dhamma. But what difference is there in our Buddha nature? Such wise answer. Then the Vipetria knew, that's why he said, Master Hongren, the Vipetria, asked him to do the kiosk in the rice mill. Then Hui Ning chopped firewood and pound the rice at the monastery for the next 8 months. So what happened was, Hong Ren knew. He said, okay, you talk too much, he said. I assign you the kitchen. You go and help prepare firewood, cook, pound rice every day. He doesn't allow him to enter the hall, the main hall. That's where he is teaching now also. And Hui Ning knew, no problem. So that he don't arise the suspicion, understand, the jealousy. Yeah. We are living beings, you know. A lot of them will complain. Southerner, barbarian, they also accepted. I from noble family, northerner, not accepted. You complain, understand. It's just like when my daughter and my son, that time they were very young, they want to join the novitiate program. Finally, because of condition, Chief Reverend K. Sri Damanala, the late one, actually agreed to let them join. There are a lot of people going and complain. That's why Chief has to announce it, is it? I receive a lot of complaints. He said, but I have to explain why I accept. Because the condition is different. It involved my son. Actually, that time he was only 4 or 5 years old. Already. He asked the mother to do the 8 precept one, the white shirt and the white uniform. Then after that, he also got ready and went there with high hope that he will be accepted. But I cannot tell him that you are underage. But he won. So I took him there. Then Ramananda saw him, you know, there, like, not happy, you know, crying. You know. Then Ramananda came and said, "What happened, boy?" I said, "He wants to join Novice program." But then Ramananda's eye opened up. He said, then he talked to my son. "Really? What? Shave head? No." "Yeah." "Okay. I teach you how. I take you, see Chief Reverend. Ask 3 times. Reject also ask 3 times. That's what he did. And Chief looked at him. He was full of joy, you know why? When Chief was young, when he renounced, it was like him. He recalled the incident. So because of that, he got to join. She said, "Okay, agree." Then the sister also got to join. Causes and conditions is different, understand? So winning is the same. You cannot just because people complain or what, then you do not want to allow the exceptional one. But the feedback here is very wise. In order to avoid unnecessary misunderstanding or what, he did, you call what? Sidetrack or what? Like move away from the main topic. I don't know what, there's an English word for it. You move away from the main topic and just tell you talk too much, okay, go to the kitchen. So indirectly he accepted him, correct? Ask him to go to the kitchen. So people cannot complain. So they say, "Oh, yeah lah, barbarian from the south. I go and work in the kitchen, help out in the pounding of rice, collecting of firewood and help out in the whatever kitchen duty." So those who do kitchen duty don't complain. Quitting start from there and become the patriarch. You don't go and think, "Ayo, I come for retreat, you send me to do." Luckily this year no toilet for you to wash. Previous year toilet, you have to wash. A lot of merits, they say. I was told by Pama Surya, the one that volunteer, she said, because of coming, she need to do that duty for us. That's a lot of parami, and they insist that they want to do for us. This is the first year. That's why people who understand, they're willing to do. So here, what happened is, because of that, the causes and conditions fall into place. It's like this is the true story of six patriarchs. And now read on. The next part is very beautiful.
Number 3, becoming the sixth patriarch. One day, Master Hongren announced, "The question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to free yourself from this bitter sea of life and death, you seem to go after tainted merits only. That is, merits which will cause rebirth."
Okay, yes. Okay, I explain a bit. I already explained to you tainted merit. Tainted merit is before you are enlightened. No matter what wholesomeness you do, or goodness, generosity, or what, because there is still sakyarity, understand? It's not a pure merit. That's why it's tinted merit. And tinted merit can give you a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merit. You reap what you sow, you inherit a lot of wealth and all those things. But it cannot free your mind, understand? That's why the fifth patriarch say the insistent rebirth, birth and death. Yeah? It's a momentous one. Day after day, instead of trying to liberate yourself from the bitter sea. Direct translation from Mandarin, Kuhai. Liao Sen Si, escape from the bitter sea, Kuhai. So the bitter sea of life and death. You seem to be going after what? Tinted merits only. You look at the temple area. Do you agree? A lot of them like to do dana. You realize or not? Like to do merit, understand? Why you tell them where got monk do dana all the way? They are very, very excited. But when you understand, these are Tintamarri. Although Tintamarri is better than heedlessly causing evil, understand? But it cannot free you. Life after life, you have to come. And the noble truth, reality, will still confront you. And when you are confronted without the Dhamma understanding, you will suffer. That's why this one is very important. So, the fifth patriarch says, yet merits will be of no help. Read together. If your essence of mind is obscured by what? Defilement is correct. Your mundane mind's heedlessness, understand? Your mundane mind that continue to stir. All these are the sankhara activity that you manifest, you create. That's why it cannot shine forth. Like I said, when you are lost in thought, preoccupied with your thought process, with all the feeling, perception, sankhara, mind state, consciousness, all this cloud you, understand? Like the sun's ray cannot shine forth because clouded by your mundane, heedless thinking. That's why you need to train yourself to develop the inner awareness, to cease the thinking. When the thinking ceases, that which cloud also gone. Then the ray, sun's ray, will penetrate the cloud that obscures. So likewise, your Buddha nature, your true nature, your awareness nature is ever shining like the sun's ray. It's waiting for you to clear the cloud that obscures. Means your thinking, understand? Your, like, all the defilements that can be mentioned. Means these are not the real understanding, not wisdom. If it's wisdom, there is no thought, it's just awareness, the direct seeing, nothing to cloud you. That's why I told you all in 1989, later on, after I connect, not long, within 9 months, my mundane mind collapsed. After it collapsed, I no need to meditate anymore. I don't need to do anything anymore. Well, that nature shine forth. The first time in my life, no? How come like that? Nothing has changed, no? The world is still the world. But how come now I can see everything so clearly? That's why I came out with the understanding. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. For those who see, they always see. At any time, any one time, they always see. Because truth is everywhere. In the midst of life and nature. The characteristic of nature is everywhere within the conditional. That's why when that thing shines forth, everything is Dhamma. Everything you see, you perceive through your senses. Seeing is insati. Hearing is insati. Smell, taste, tactile and talk, all insati. Your movement, activity, everything is insati. How can you not see when your mind has transformed until like that? So fifth patriarch actually prompted them to come up with a stanza with all this beautiful understanding. That's why he said, yet merits will be of no use if your essence of mind is obscure. Go and seek what? Huh? What is written there? Prajna, wisdom, from where? In your own mind, means your true mind, the direct seeing. Then write me a stanza or gatha about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is, means your true mind, your awareness nature, will be given the robe, the insignia of the patriarchship, and the Dhamma, the ultimate teaching of the Zen school. And I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go away quickly, delay not, see? Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary. discuss here and there, say, oh, we all better don't do because Sen Xiu is our chief disciple, most senior. We leave it to him and all that. But the fifth patriarch actually warned them, deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. The man who realizes the essence of mind can speak of it at once. This is what will happen. No need to prepare anything. No need to remember anything. The moment you realize that, awaken to that, you can just off the cuff share and speak. And this is what happened. As soon as he is spoken to about it, that's why the Dhamma, the understanding and the realization, is wisdom, not knowledge. No need to remember one. And he cannot lose sight of it. See the word? This one is not written by me. This one is from the internet. I looked for almost 20 versions, and I found this version. I was full of joy. So precise. Even when we engage in battle, you see? Even when you are fighting a war, you can never lose sight of that Dhamma understanding. So all this is spoken by the patriarch who has the understanding, the enlightenment. So this should give you faith. That's why I like this Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta. It's because of that. Then next page. This one I think very beautiful. Maybe I will go through it and finish it off. Another 15 minutes only. Okay. However, the disciples said to each other that they didn't need to write any katha, and that surely their teacher and head monk, Venerable Sen Xiu, would become the sixth patriarch. So when Sen Xiu wrote a katha for Master Hong Ren, So only Sen Xiu wrote a katha for the fifth patriarch, but as the head monk, Sen Xiu was well respected and under pressure to produce a katha that would qualify him as the sixth patriarch. However, he was uncertain as to his own understanding and eventually decided to write a poem anonymously on the wall in the middle of the night, only to announce his authorship after Hong Ren approved of it. So this famous poem is what Sen Xiu wrote. And later on, you see how Hui Ning, who is an illiterate, tear his poem apart because of the wisdom and the understanding. So Sen Xiu say, Sen Ru Pu Ji Su, means the body is like a Bohi tree. Xing Ru Ming Jing Tai, the mind, a mirror bright on the stand. Si Si Qi Fo Si, Qing Fo Si, is it Qing or what? Xing ah. Qin ah, Qin Fo Si. Polish until it shines, so that no dust can alight. Wu Si Re Chen Ai. So, a lot of the disciples thought, oh, this is beautiful. At the Theravada level, this is beautiful. This is very meaningful. That's why when the disciples saw this gata on the wall, there was a great stir or hoo-ha. But when Master Hong Ren saw it, he told them, practice according to it, to this gata, and you will not fall into the evil rhyme. Means what? You can become an Arya. Understand what? The sainthood way. Understand what? At least Sotapanashi couldn't fall into the evil line. And you will receive great benefit. Light incense and pay respect to this gata. Recite it and you will see your essential nature. See? He predict if you cultivate this Sen Xiu one, which is Theravada type of understanding, finally when you break free from this, you will also see your true mind, the essence of mind. So all the disciples praise and memorize the gata. However, privately, Master Hong Ren told Sen Xiu, you have arrived at the gate of enlightenment. Means you already reached the doorstep, but you don't know how to enter upon it. So he said, but you haven't entered it. With this level of understanding, you still have no idea what that supreme Bodhi-mind, the essence of mind, is. Upon hearing my word, you should immediately recognize the true mind, the original mind, the essential nature, which is the fifth Pitya gave him so much heat, no, and yet he cannot get it. No. That's why Theravada tradition, that level is different. So he hinted to him, no. He said, you should recognize the original mind, the essential nature, which is unborn, unceasing. At all times, see it clearly in every thought. This one is what Beng Lim's grandson wrote on your whiteboard. Liao Liao Jian Xing. His grandson sent him a message before he came for the retreat. Liao Liao Jian Xing means at all time, you know, that's why Liao Liao Jian Xing, you know, see it clearly in every thought. Understand? With the mind, free from all hindrance, means without mental hindrance, the spiritual faculties are there. In the one reality, everything is real. And all phenomena are just as they are. Understand? This is so beautiful, so profound, that Master Hongren asked Sun Siu to compose another gatha that demonstrates his true understanding. Sun Siu tried, but cannot come up with another verse. So what happened? When a Novik monk, young Novik monk, passed by the rice milling area, when he recited Sun Siu's gatha, Hui Neng immediately knew that this verse lacked true penetrative insight. He went onto the wall and asked a district officer there to write a poem of his own. Then the district officer was surprised. He said, how extraordinary. You are illiterate and you want to compose a gatha. Then Hui Neng mentioned this to the district officer. Whereupon Hui Neng said, if you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone. The lowest class may have great insight and wisdom, and the highest class may commit foolish acts. In veneration, the district officer wrote Huineng's gatha on the wall for him, next to Sun Siu, which read as follows. You know what Huineng is trying to tell him? Don't look at the external form, the outward appearance. Just like what I shared yesterday. I said, you look at me based on the external form, then you say what? Brother Theo, lay person. Yeah? You may not know me. No title, nothing. Not even the monk or whatever. Then you say, no way. We are the monk. Full-time, asana, ordained, commit, full-time, also cannot get it, or find it so difficult. How can a lay person busy with the daily life, the mundane thing and all those things, can achieve such understanding? So if you look at it like that, then you miss the whole thing. What you should have listened is to the Dhamma that he shared, the understanding that he has. If you don't have karmic obstruction, the moment you listen, you will be impressed. You will become different. You will be attracted, drawn. That's why all this is nature's phenomenon. My nature don't do anything. Those who have affinity, they come. Like Beng Lim, he doesn't know me. TK in Singapore also doesn't know me. Read the website, the video. Then contacted, and they came. So all this is the meaning of what can happen. So here, because of what Hui Neng told the district officer was full of joy, he quickly write. And this one I read to you, it will tear the poem of Sun Siu completely, tear apart. He said, 菩提本无树,
明镜亦非台，本来无一物，何处惹尘埃？ The translated English meaning is, he said, Bohi is fundamentally without a tree, any tree. Because Bohi is what? Enlightenment, understand? How can enlightenment be a tree? Sun Xiu's understanding is the Buddha got enlightened underneath the Bohi tree. Understand? That's why he said he knows the Theravada teaching very well. He said, our body is like the Bohi tree, where it can help you to realize enlightenment. Why? Because the Buddha did mention in the teaching, within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought and mindfulness, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation of the world. Means what? He proclaimed the Four Noble Truths, understand not? That's why he became enlightened. So since you knew, you had to work on this physical body. So what is the one that can bring for enlightenment under the Theravada teaching? The four foundation of mindfulness, isn't it? Within your phantom-like body, physical body, do you have the four foundation? You have or not? Definitely you have it. The first foundation is what? Kaya Nupasana. Physical body, mindfulness of kaya. Then, second foundation, Vedana Nupasana. You got feeling in your form and mind or not? You definitely have, isn't it? Then the third foundation is Chitta Nupasana. You have the mundane mind or not? You can be mindful of it. Then the last one is what? Dhamma Nupasana. Because this body is nature. It reveals the nature's law, or the truth inside. That's why all the Dhamma that you can come across and realize is all within this phantom-like body, the form and mind. That's why Sun Xiu mistaken and get entangled here. There he was doing the sainthood way. But Hui Ning tear it apart. He said, Bohi, it's not a tree. Your comparison is wrong. Your wisdom is not a physical object, another. Wisdom need to be realized. That's why Pu Ti Peng Wu Su. Then the second stanza is a Xing Ru Ming Jing Tai. But he tear it apart by saying what? Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. You understand not? So the meaning is the mind is neither the stand nor the mirror bright. Because that mind that the Sun Xiu talk about, the mind, Xing Zu Ming Jing Tai, means the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. That is the mundane mind that reflecting, understand not? That is not your true mind. That's why he cannot penetrate. Sun Xiu just tear him apart. Then Sun Xiu say, Sun Xiu has realized the essence of mind. That's why he said, 本来无一物. What is it? Oh, sorry. 慧能, 慧能 tear him apart. Sorry, the word. 慧能 tear him apart. He said, 菩提本无树, 明镜亦非台, 本来无一物. Means that true nature, the essence of mind, originally empty, nothing inside there. Then where can the dust alight? Thus, the dust is duality created by the mundane mind. So because of that, Sun Xiu couldn't get the patriarchship. And the fifth patriarch decided to pass on the patriarchship to the sixth patriarch. That's how it happened. We will read on, I try to finish. Oh, not enough time. Never mind. Hui Nan then went back to rice pounding. However, the gata created a bigger hoo-ha. Everyone was saying, oh, amazing. You cannot judge a person by his look. Maybe he will become a living bodhisattva soon. However, when the master Hong Ren came out, he just casually said, this one also hasn't really seen the essential nature either, and proceeded to wipe the gata off with his shoe. Yeah? He doesn't want to create unnecessary trouble for Huinen. Seeing that Huinen was working with his stone pestle, he said to him, a seeker of the path risks his life for Dhamma. Should he not do so? That's why the fifth patriarch then asked. The Huinen said, yes, worth it. Then he asked, is the rice ready? Well, Huinen, very wise, he said, long ready, only waiting to be sieved. You understand? Means you have to sieve away the husk and all those things, then it becomes beautiful rice. Then the fifth patriarch knocked on the mortar thrice with his stick and left. Knowing what the fifth patriarch meant, in the middle of the third watch, sunken, Huinen went to the fifth patriarch's room. The knight, Hong Ren, received Huinen in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutra to him. When he came to the passage, to use the mind yet to be free from any attachment, Huinen came to great awakening, enlightenment. Then he replied, how amazing that all Dhamma are inseparable from the self nature. He exclaimed, how amazing that this self nature is originally pure. How amazing that this self nature is unborn, undying. How amazing that this true nature, self nature, is inherently complete. How amazing that this self nature or true nature neither move nor stay. How amazing that all Dhamma come from the self nature. See, he immediately understand all this. The only missing link that he have is he don't know how to use the mundane mind. He don't know that normal human being got a mundane mind, because he was born without a mundane mind. Until the fifth patriarch gave him that understanding. This mind, which is the mundane mind, or later after your mundane mind collapse, the supramundane mind will come out. So the supramundane mind is the one that you also need to use it. Yeah. But because it's a supramundane mind, you cannot be deluded by it anymore. So. But before you have the enlightenment, this mundane mind, you will be deluded by it. So what the fifth patriarch pointed out to Huinen is what he need to understand. That's why, full of joy, immediately awakened. No need to practice, no need to wait so long. Master Hong Ren told Huinen, if one recognizes the original mind, the original nature, he is called a great man, teacher of gods and men, and the Buddha. See, the awareness nature. You can realize it, you can become a great man. Understand? But there are many, many layers of understanding of that nature. That nature actually unending one. A lot of things to dig into one. Understand? To develop the cultivation. Otherwise, everybody become Buddha already. Understand? Because when you actually develop the affinity and the condition to connect the gateway, that is the beginning. Understand? Of the understanding of the Bodhisattva way, the transformation, how you use the fourth support trust, which I earlier on wrote. That one, no mind involved, the nature evolve and move, then it will transform. Whatever yin yang energy external, when it melt inside that, it become pure energy, then it will do the work inside. Then it will transform you. That's how that nature become more and more like transform. Until now, 30 over years, still not finished, unending. That's right. There is a lot of things. But when you can have that affinity, ability to understand all this, my nature really rejoices and sadhu you. So those who go the Bodhisattva way, you can have all this understanding, provided you walk towards it. Okay? So let me finish on this one, the final paragraph. Although this story was clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Neng was not permitted to make himself known as a sixth patriarch until later. This was due to the fear that his fellow monk might be angered and harm him. That he had been made the sixth patriarch and not Sun Siu, or one of the other monks who had seniority over him. Actually, the story did end here. They were after Sun Siu, hunting him down. After Hui Neng. Sorry, I always mix up the two. So, based on all this, you know why Hui Neng need to lay low, wait for causes and conditions, as advised by the fifth patriarch. He said, wait for your timing. So he was with the hunter for 15 years. So. Yeah. And I understand why. Because for me, when I was ready in 1989, I got no condition to tea. Nobody understand ahead of time. So I waited how long? Until Yun Chan came, 2004. I waited 15 years. It's like that. So all this, hopefully you have the understanding. It gives you faith that diligently with faith, cultivate, develop this understanding. It can be done. Like I used to say, not only I can do it, now a few Kayamita already can do it. Why you still doubt? Understand? So this is the message that I supposed to deliver. Okay? So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, sorry, take extra 4 minutes. I heard the alarm just now. But never mind. We are after this, we're supposed to have meditation. So, our next program is 4 to 5:15. Oh, not just meditation. Q&A, oh, very good. Followed by the review of meditation reporting to develop proper understanding of the cultivation. This one is very important. You must ask the Q&A so that you can develop the proper understanding of the cultivation. The Dhamma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can ask any question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and real-life application of the Dhamma. Then, closing puja. So that closing puja, if you have duty, I was told 6 o'clock, dinner. We have Fazan Sifu finish the chanting at 5:15. Correct or not? I know.
12,
yeah. 6. Yeah. You put it in the WhatsApp group, the retreat. Okay? So we adjust a bit. We have extra 30 minutes actually. Okay, good. We make use of it. 6 o'clock only we go down for dinner. Then for those who have to help out, you have to go down 15 minutes earlier. Okay, now we open up for Q&A. Anybody want to ask any question regarding the meditation, the understanding of the Buddha's teaching? The meditation as taught by the Buddha, and also how you actually experience the meditation. You can report all this and ask questions.
Meditation class?
Meditation?
Now only 3 o'clock, not yet 4 o'clock.
Now only 3 o'clock? Oh yeah, means I was correct. Meditation, I jumped to 4 o'clock. No wonder so fast. Sorry, thank you for reminding me. Okay, no wonder people are confused. Okay, 3 to 4, 1 hour, meditate.